Today on Real Radio.
You see, when we begin to think or talk about, oh, he's the best worship leader, or they're the best worship group, or that's the most fantastic worshiping church, we need to ask the question, why is that so? Now, this morning, we're going to get technical about some things. Oh, it's not technical about certain words or depth of study itself. Technical by way of the heart. Because without the right heart, there is no true worship. And the important thing about what we're talking about today, and if I offend you in this, know that it's coming by the Holy Spirit from the throne of God when I say this, that those who will inherit heaven are people who love to worship.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his mini-series from the book of Acts, chapter 2, in verses 41 through 47. It's a parenthetical group of studies called Why Should I? Because it answers those issues into which we have all inquired. Recently, we've examined questions that relate to today's topic. Why should I fellowship? Why should I go to church? And why should I come back to church? Today, our teacher answers the question, why should I worship? Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
Listen, why don't you grab your Bibles and turn, if you would, to where? Acts chapter 2. Very good. Acts chapter 2, verses 41 to 47. And you might say, well, Jack, now as we enter part 4 of our series of the Why Should I series that we're involved in, you keep going to the same chapter verse every time. Yeah, I know. And if you pay close attention, and if you are a good note taker, which I know every one of you are so good to take notes, you will be picking up out of Acts chapter 2, verses 41 to 47, some very, very interesting words that the Holy Spirit ordained for us in the creation and the establishment and the perpetual work of the church in the earth today. It's all found in Acts chapter 2, verses 41 to 47. And this morning's message in the series, Why Should I Worship, is no stranger, and it is no different to this portion of Scripture. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Then those who gladly, it's a form of worship, received his word, were baptized, and about that day, 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear or awe or great reverence, that's a form of worship, came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together, and they had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as many had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. Gladness and simplicity, an act of worship. Verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Every ingredient needed for a healthy church, for you and I to be involved in, is listed in the book of Acts. If you want to know how to raise up a church, look to the book of Acts. And you will find throughout the book of Acts this wonderful act of worship. And so this morning, we are going to be studying about that. Now, listen carefully. I want to make this very clear. This series has kind of been pre-planned, but I've got to tell you, after studying for this message today on worship, we will only go as far this morning as God wants us to go. If we need to pick it up next week, I can't think of a better topic than worship than to just continue on because of the magnitude and the importance for which it stands. Worship. hey, can we kind of like pretend there's no tape recorder running right now, or there's no camera catching anything of what we're doing? Can we just pretend for a moment that it's just us here now? Maybe at table, we've got a cup of coffee or a cup of tea or whatever you want this morning, and it's just us talking. Because you know what? That would be preparatory to us discussing worship. You can't polish worship. You can't pull it out and perfect it. Oh, don't get me wrong. Churches and worship leaders and worship ministries will attempt to do that. Maybe, perhaps, giving them the benefit of the doubt to make it just right that it's the best worship in town. But I don't think God's interested in that. You see, when we begin to think or talk about, oh, he's the best worship leader, or they're the best worship group, or that's the most fantastic worshiping church, we need to ask the question, why is that so? Now, this morning, we're going to get technical about some things. Oh, it's not technical about certain words or deep or depth of study itself. Technical by way of the heart. Because without the right heart, there is no true worship. And the important thing about what we're talking about today, and if I offend you in this, know that it's coming by the Holy Spirit from the throne of God when I say this, that those who will inherit heaven are people who love to worship. It doesn't mean that they have good voices. It doesn't mean that they can play the guitar like Dwayne did this morning. And while he was playing his guitar, the thought came into my mind based upon the study for today that, and I wanted to yell back there. I was sitting back there, usually do, way back in that end. I wanted to shout and say, hey, everybody, watch his guitar smile. Why? That piece of wood, those strings, being steel or nylon, I don't know what he uses, doesn't matter. That guitar, that instrument, is simply made of elements of the earth. That's all. There's nothing new about the atomic structure of the elements he's using in the guitar. But that guitar is dedicated to the worship of God, and he played for us two very happy sounding songs. Why? Because that guitar was smiling. It was making sounds. It was giving its adoration unto God. You might say, Jack, are you nuts this morning in thinking like that? I am. I may be nuts, but I mean what I'm saying. Isn't it romantic of God to say that the hills will shout his righteousness, that the trees of the field will what? Clap their hands. Trees don't have hands, but they have a lot of leaves. And somehow when the Lord comes back in all of his glory, the Bible says that the trees will clap their hands, or technically maybe clap their leaves. Jesus said concerning worship, I tell you, if I tell these disciples of mine to not worship and praise, these very stones will cry out. Wouldn't it have been awesome to hear those stones shout out? And notice this in the Bible. You're going to hear a lot about it, and it's just the way it is. Shouting, praising, worship, a loud noise. The book of Revelation, the book of Isaiah, Jeremiah speaks about a thunderous ovation of all the redeemed of the earth praising God. I think if you take the church throughout history from its gentle and peaceful, quiet harps that would be played along the fire in the Judean wilderness or wherever the early believers began to gather, it was holy and acceptable to God. Listen, some of you need to hear where I'm going with this. Very soft, gentle worship, acceptable to God. And then there's the priestly worship in the temple where the ministers, according to Solomon's decree, began to sing 24 hours a day, 7 days a week in worship shifts from the temple. And people 24 hours a day could hear the shouts of God's praise coming out of the temple in Jerusalem, shouting, worshiping, instruments of cymbals, of tambourines, the Bible says. The Bible says in many places in the book of Psalms, with stringed instruments. And I love that this morning as we were hearing a song. Now, somebody who's not into the Bible might say, I wanted to sing instead of hear that. Well, frankly, it wasn't for you. It was for God. And you can sing anytime you want. But what happened when Dwayne was playing was a holy, biblical offering of worship unto God with stringed instruments. I love when Robert comes up here with his violin. Don't you love that violin? Or when Brian E. is in town with that violin. God is blessed with the playing of that. You might say, well, Pastor, that's those guys, and I can't do that. I can't either, but can you join with me in making a joyful noise? Because when I sing, it's kind of like, oh, Lord. And you may not appreciate it. I may be sitting behind you, and you're squinting and oh, who's that wretch behind me trying to sing? I'm not singing to you. And God loves it when I sing like that to him. You see, my friend, I'm inviting you to enter into the most lofty and holy calling of any believer, and that is worship. There's no greater thing. Mark it down in your notes. Pull out a piece of paper. Pull out the note sheet in front of you. Jot it down. Number one, why should I worship? Why should we as a church worship? Well, number one, because worship is a spiritual act. It's a spiritual act. Now, listen to me carefully. It is a spiritual act, but we know from archaeology and sociology that every culture known to man on earth throughout history, be it the enlightened cultures of the world or the most darkened cultures of the world in the deepest, darkest regions of the undiscovered world, when missionaries or adventurers go through, do you know what they find in every culture? Worship. In the Pacific Northwest, you have the ancient Eskimos who worshiped totem poles, which manifested or had carved out images of gods that they believed controlled the elements or the environment. They worshiped. You say, well, that's not the proper worship. You're right, it's not. What my point is, it's in the heart of every human being to worship. You can go down to the regions of South Africa or go to areas of Central Africa, Northern Africa. You can go to South America, Central America, and find people. You can go to the Aztecs or the Incas and those great ancient peoples and find tremendous acts of worship. Why is that true? Because it is in the heart of every human being to be involved in worship. And you need to mark that in your mind as we go through this teaching. Why, as a believer, as a Christian, why is it that I must worship? Well, even the non-believer must worship. Yet, in most cases, he doesn't understand it. He doesn't know that. But every human being is longing for this thing of worship. It's almost like a hunger. It's when your stomach, you know, have you ever had those things go on where you're craving something? It doesn't even make sense. Have you ever had that happen? There's no explanation for it. Why am I thinking about chocolate or about, whatever? It's not even you. You may not even like chocolate. You may not even like olives. Olives is a weird thing. I had a craving for olives. What is an olive? You can't even have an olive craving. I had one. And it's so funny when you have a craving. You want to know why? You don't go down to the store and buy an olive. Come to my house, look in my cupboards. You know what I did? I went down there and I bought three huge, big bottles of those, the green ones? I love those green things now. But what is the thing? It just hit me. I need a green olive. It was like a fix. And I went and I filled the fix. When you're born again, you will have this hunger, this drive, this passion. I must worship. Well, the world has that same drive. It's not directed to God. It's directed to man-made gods, things. And they need their fix. The human soul needs that fix. It's a very interesting thing to note. But there is a holy worship and there's an unholy worship. And the Bible records and reveals the truth about worship and who is to be worshiped. Sadly, many Christians today are either ignorant about worship. Listen, they're either ignorant about worship or they're so backslidden that worship is missing from their diet. They don't even have the craving. Listen up, church, and I speak to this church and this church only. If we are not a worshiping church, that is, if we're not coming in here with hot hearts, that's why I wore the red shirt today. Hot. To worship. It's to psychologically send a message. We need to come in here, man, I want to worship God. I want to give God glory. But if we come in here so backslidden that to enter into the courts of praise and to the sanctuary of worship, that if we're so backslidden that we come in and we're critiquing and criticizing and we're murmuring and complaining, don't you dare think for a moment that you have even come near to worshiping God. He will not accept that offense. Have we come this morning with hearts excited? Oh, God in heaven, hear our worship. Across America, there's the mourning of the loss of our astronauts. In Israel's first astronaut, 2 weeks ago, I mentioned to you as I flew out of Florida, I saw that great spacecraft sitting on the pad there. And we made light, we made joke about how at least the third Hebrew or Jewish astronaut would be in space. You know, Enoch first, Elijah second, and now astronaut Ramon. It isn't interesting that the previous two never made it back to Earth, and neither shall Colonel Ramon? Isn't it interesting that he was known as a secular Jew? Do you know what that means, a secular Jew? It means he was born in the Bible lands. It means he went to Sabbath. He went to synagogue. He even carried a Torah, the first five books of Moses, in the shuttle. And passing over Israel, he was able to spend a two-second Shabbat as he went across Israel and held up the Torah. But he was known by all Israelis as a secular, that is, a non-believing Jew in the God of Israel. He didn't believe. But he emailed his family yesterday, or Friday, I should say, and he sent an email to his family saying, there's something divine about the view from here. Could it be that this man, 16 minutes into the descent of Space Shuttle Columbia as it tried to re-enter our atmosphere and disintegrated, now they know evidence, just off of our coast of California, it was already beginning to disintegrate as it came across. There's photographs from Jet Propulsion Laboratory in various areas in the High Sierras. It was already beginning to break up. Warning signs were going off. Alarms were going off. Could it be that these people on board knew enough in all of their training that there was possibly no hope coming in at the speed at 25 Mach? The speed that they're flying at? And could it be that they cried out to God? Could it be that Ramon said there's something divine about this view that led him to the knowledge of God? Worship. It takes on all kinds of forms. When we sing, when we move, when we speak. I praise the Lord for the worship that took place yesterday on international TV. This has been a tremendous week for the glory of God, people, no matter how you look at it. I don't know where you were Tuesday night, but President Bush gave glory to God. Tremendous glory to God. Well, he said yesterday, in the skies today we saw destruction and tragedy. Yet, he said, further than we can see, there is a comfort and a hope. In the words of the prophet Isaiah, quote, lift up your eyes and look to the heavens who created all things. He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls them each by name. Because of his great power and his mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Quoting the book of Isaiah, the President of the United States, regarding the loss. And what a beautiful dualism. He He went on to say that the same creator who names the stars also named these of the also knew the names of these seven souls we mourn today. No wonder why we should worship God. He's awesome. It's a spiritual act. And we as a people, we need to remember this. We're Christians. It doesn't mean we belong to a club, and frankly, it doesn't even mean we belong to this church. When we're Christians, it means that we belong to the body of Christ, which is universal, the church in all the earth. No membership of any denomination gets you anywhere concerning heaven. But knowing Christ does. Remember this? In fact, even in our world today, we tell our kids to go to school, go to college, study, do the best you can. But you know what? Frankly, in some respects, it all comes down to getting that job, not what you know, because there's a lot of smarter people than us. How do you get that job? Yeah, it's not what you know. It's who you know. It's who you know. And your friend who may be competing for you against that job at IBM or wherever it might be, they may know Mr. I or B or M. But you may know the Lord of heaven and earth. And if it's God's will you have that job, you seek Him, God will bless you with that job or with that place or with that position, whatever it might be, or with that, by the way, husband or that wife or that relationship. But listen, church, remember this. All of our Bible knowledge about what we know, and man, this needs to be said today. All of our Bible knowledge will soon mean nothing. All of our doctrine that we, especially as Calvary Chapel, we study the Bible. We divorce ourselves from men's opinions. We don't listen to a pastor, a teacher that tells us what to believe and tells us what to think. We have a pastor teacher ministry within Calvary Chapels worldwide that tell you, this is what the Bible says, but you go search and see for yourself. With Paul the Apostle, we agree. I give you these things, but you search and see and examine the Scriptures to determine whether these things be so, Paul said, Acts 17:11. The great thing about that is this. No matter how much knowledge we attain as a spiritual person, the moment we die, or the moment we get raptured, or once we enter into eternity with God, it doesn't matter. We've all joked around, there's going to be a final quiz. You better get this point down. You know, there'll be a test at the end of your life. Oh, that's not true. All the smart people are not going to be up front near the throne. It will be all the equal people. And you know how we become equal? By believing in the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right. Rich or poor, male or female, Jew or Gentile, we're all one in Christ. Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a study called Why Should I Worship? And of course, we're talking about much more than just singing with the congregation. It's a study taken from the New Testament book of Acts, chapter 2, the basis for this mini-series called Why Should I?, which is available to you, by the way, all on one MP3 CD for your gift to Real Radio of any amount. Again, we'd be glad to send you this series all on one convenient MP3 CD for your gift to Real Radio of any amount. If you want, you can read more about it simply by paying us a visit at realradioactive.org and under the banner Special Offer, realradioactive.org. If you'd like, you can give us a call by using our toll-free number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. You may also write to us, send your contribution to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Now, of course, if you missed any of this contact info, just remember realradioactive.org. Real Radio is made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.